woke up this morning and I went to go asleep on my recliner because I was still pretty groggy. And I heard this on the window. But actually I saw it as a door. And I knew that the Lord was calling me for something. And he brought back to my remembrance something that I had gone through. And he said, I want my people to know that when they look at you and they see what you endured, I want them to know I did it for you. I want them to understand that when they die to self and they go through something, I literally take over. Oh, it seems like this is so hard and so difficult for you. And in a way, it is. Dying is never easy, especially dying to what you think and feel and believe. One woman asked me, when you talk about being spanked, what is a spanking? When you talk about certain things, please explain. So I will. Being the person that God called me to be, I will clarify what God is saying. There were times in my life where God, and I told you how many hours and years he spent talking to me, and I still, no matter what he did, I desired to do my own thing. And when God would tell me not to, and I disobeyed him, it almost cost me my life. If you do something and you really have no knowledge and you have no real understanding and you are a distance away from the real truth and you haven't been with him so close and so intimately that you could understand so many things, your spanking, I'm telling you, they'll be like my little ones when I was very young. But these two times, they were very severe, and I almost died. And when I chose people who were not worthy of choosing them, who had everything that was wrong inside of them, and they did not believe the word of God, they did not believe they had to die, and they believed, you know, they believed that it was okay to lie and to gossip, to cheat, and to steal from others. There's some types of vampire spirits that come in contact with you, and they will suck up everything that you are, and they will drink it like a blood, and they'll walk away. I got it. And they will dust their feet off on you and just walk away from you. That's not a problem. Not a problem for God. Because no matter what they do, they cannot deceive God. They're not going to go before God when the time comes and tell him, well, I'll tell you exactly what they'll say. Didn't I do many mighty works in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I heal the sick? And God will say, get away from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Wow, never knew you. Everything that God talks to you about in dying to self is all for your benefit. There is no benefit to me whatsoever. Everything that God uses me to say, pick up your cross and follow him, There is no benefit to me for you to do that. What I do is an act of obedience, an obedience according to what he wrote in Ezekiel, how to be free. For if God reveals to me the truth, and he allows me to go through things so I know that truth so powerfully, I understand that truth so much, and I don't give it. He tells you plainly, if I don't warn you, your blood is on my hands. If I warn you and you don't listen, then your blood is on your hands. But in order for me to walk freely in great peace, great, unbelievable peace in my body and my mind and my spirit, something you can't buy, something that you could never copy, that you could never become, there's only one way, and that's the door. And his name is Jesus Christ. And it's the straight and narrow way. And it causes you, going on the straight and narrow, causes you to automatically die to self. Automatically shed everything you think, feel, and believe. Now, I hear many people, and they'll talk. They'll talk about subjects they know nothing about, but they are just filled for money to give you their opinion. And opinions, they don't dare say God told me. They don't dare say God revealed to me. They say, I think, I believe. They might even say, I know. But I don't hear them say, God revealed it to me. You know why? They're afraid. And if they would do it for a while, they might as well go and run and jump off that cliff. If they are so foolish that they are able to tempt God, because you see, that is tempting him. When you willfully and deliberately lead others astray and pretend that you are something or have something that you are not, you tempt him. If it's not true that God did not have to endure people and suffer them, he never would have said these words to the disciples. How long will I suffer you? For no matter what he said to them, no matter what miracles they saw, they did not know and understand the spiritual things. So when he talked to them and he expected them to, they didn't. But you see, they were his children. They weren't like that fig tree that when it didn't feed him, he cursed it. These are his children. And oh, how he loves his children. What does it mean to pick up your cross and deny yourself? From the time you were born, you have thoughts and feelings and opinions, understandings. And when you go into the Bible, you could only see some of them that go against the Word of God. And because you get a little picture of what it is about, because of that, and you pass through a little bit, I've got it all. Because the flesh, and God's not condemning you for being human, the flesh, it does not want to go through it. It doesn't want to endure. It doesn't really want to understand. So it lies to itself first. You know, I have heard people say, you look into the eyes and you could see the evil in those eyes. Let them come to the altar, and all I got to do is look into their eyes. I've got news for you. You don't know what you're talking about. Because you see, those eyes could have lied inside their heart so bad to themselves that the eyes look pure and clean. I'm serious. They could have successfully lied to their own selves that they're doing nothing wrong and that they belong to God. And when you look into those eyes, that's what you see, and you think it's God. Because your discernment is not strong enough, it is not powerful enough, it is not deep enough to know. Of course there are evil, that if you look into the eyes, you see the evil. But I don't have to look into the eyes of man, and I don't want to see his evil. In order to discern, I don't have to look into one person's eyes. All I have to do is believe what God reveals to me before they even come in contact with me. All I have to do is be so dead to my own thoughts and opinions and feelings and emotions, everything, that when they come towards me, even when they haven't even met me yet, when they're discovering and thinking they're going to, I feel it. I have God talk to me and show me where they're at. You know how God saw Nathanael under the tree? Well, what do you think he does with me? What do you think he would do with you? But you see, he doesn't want to do that with you as long as your flesh is living, because he knows that you will take, listen to me, the power of his word, the power of his name, the power of his spirit, and your access through to the throne, and you will literally use it to destroy, because it will, and I said it before, sift through your mind and heart, sift through your flesh, and it'll come out a destroyer. It'll come out in teaching false doctrines that will literally destroy the church. False doctrine of prosperity, that if you're not blessed, you don't have God, which goes against everything Jesus Christ is about. By the time you get done with the people that listen to you, if he isn't comforting you, then it's not the Holy Spirit, it's of the devil. Ooh, would I be afraid to teach that? Because you see, God said that we would go through things that Jesus went through, that we would endure certain things, and that we, tribulation and trouble would be in the world. He made that to make us stronger. Persecution will be tremendous to a true believing Christian. For the moment that you really decide to turn your back on the world, the flesh, and the devil, you become a target. You're watching it right now. It seems like the whole world is against one individual. As soon as that man made up his mind, he was going to put God first and do what God wanted with this nation. Look at the enemies. And they haven't been able to kill him. They haven't been able to destroy him. Everything they've done to him has made him stronger, which is really only able to be obtained by dying to what you think and feel and letting Christ live within you. Because you see, I no longer carry or do what it takes. When my body is racked with pain and agony, I cannot function. I cannot think. I can't even know to pray. I can't remember. And oh, I remember going through that. I remember living like that for 10 solid months, unable to get out of bed, unable to go to the bathroom. And when you went to the bathroom, you screamed your lungs out. The agony and the pain was so bad. When you moved your body a little bit, because your bones were full force pain, including your head, including your fingers, including your toes. And the agony was so, so great. And every muscle was like having tendonitis. Not just one muscle, not just two, but all of them. And as you laid there in an oblivion of pain, with no answer to your body, no medicine you could possibly take that would subside it. And you laid there for 10 months where you didn't care if you lived and you didn't care if you died. Where you didn't know what day it was, you didn't even know your name. You just suffered and endured. You're freezing and your teeth are chattering. And there is no way to get warm. You've got an electric blanket over you on high with other blankets on top of you. You've got gloves on your hands. You've got 2 and 3 pairs of socks on your feet. You've got your head wrapped up. And all you can see is this part of your face because the ears and everything else are so cold and so painful, you can't even bear to move. Now, that's suffering. And it's extreme agony. Now, I know of some people that are suffering some things that are very, very close to that and similar, but they don't know yet. They don't know that they endure every day because it's Jesus inside of them that is taking the pain. You're not alone. I was never once for 2 minutes alone, even though I got to the point where I didn't care. I couldn't even function to think I want to die. I couldn't even function to know how many months I was in that condition. My mind could not think. My memory could not work. All it can do was suffer. And suddenly, I heard a whisper in my ear. And I knew when he called my name, my spirit knew it was Jesus. And he said, "Marian, do you believe that I love you?" And immediately, without even thinking, "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus." Without even thinking, I said, "Yay, Lord." And then I saw a vision over my bed. And I saw the Lord lean over it and shove his face right into Satan's. And I heard him say these words very clearly. "See, I told you she'd believe me." And then everything disappeared. And for the first time in months, I could get up out of bed. I was not alone. Inside of me was a power to endure. I had a yoke of bondage that was so heavy I could not carry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But he carried it for me. He endured it for me. and as I sat on the other bed, and I'll never forget this, the whole town lied on me, persecuted me. The whole church lied on me and hurt me and said that I was suffering and dying because I sinned. And all the dirty, rotten, filthy things that were sent out from mouth to mouth to mouth in every church in that area. The dirty, rotten, filthy things that were said in the neighborhood. And I looked up. And I heard an old message on the machine, for the woman was already dead. And she called me, and this was a woman that I told you. She was greatly anointed. But she was married to a legalistic man, which literally the two of them went insane. And they became a cult church. And I could hear her on that phone crying. Marion, she never believed me before. She never wanted anything to do with me before. And she actually asked God to kill me and agreed with others that that was going to happen. I didn't have any memory of any of those things. For all of that was erased. Forgiveness was in full force because Jesus Christ was alive in me. And when I heard her voice, my heart broke because I would have crawled if I could have to help her. No matter what she did, and she was one of the worst enemies in my entire life. She was one of the things that caused for years and years and years mental and emotional pain. And when I heard her voice, she says, Marion, I don't have anybody. I need you to come and pray for me so bad. I couldn't even get up out of bed. I was sitting right there. And I put out my hand. And I'm crying because inside of me, I loved her and every one of them so much, I would have done anything. And I put up my hand like this. And I said, Father, put it within my hand to do something to help these people. I didn't remember the pain. I didn't remember what they did. I only remembered they were somebody that Jesus loved, that I loved. I had died to myself so much I remembered nothing. Nothing evil about anybody. Nothing that was done to me, I remembered nothing. I remembered and saw somebody was asking for help and had a great need. And I cried. And I asked the Lord to put it in my hand to help him. Find, I asked him, please, find some way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll never forget it. Some way, Lord. After almost 20 years of things that you could not imagine these people did to me, mentally and emotionally, that was all gone. I forgave him. There was no memory of it. And I'm over there like this. And I heard something, and I turned. And straight through the wall came Jesus Christ. Just right through the wall. And he came up to me, and he put his hand on me. He didn't say a word. He just touched me. And his presence and power surged through me so completely that I was completely healed of the lupus that was killing me. I'm only here telling you this so you would understand. You're not alone. You're not enduring alone. You don't suffer alone. You asked him to come in. You asked him, Lord, come into my heart. But you see, there's so much of self there that when you make your choices, you kick on him. You push him. You shove him to get him out. Because the flesh says, I want my way, I want my way. So someone hurt you, and it's a small offense. Or maybe somebody hurt you for 2 years, 10 years, 5 years. Doesn't matter. They hurt you. And every day, you are tempted towards revenge, towards thinking. And I mean, the first time you pick this up, you're sinning. The first time you look at that suffering as though they're going to pay, you're sinning. Because that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is when you have no memory of what they've done to you. None whatsoever. You never think of it. You never work along those lines because you died. You literally died. When you said to the Lord, I forgive them, Lord. You do what God did. Jesus in you literally erases the offense the way he did. When you ask him to forgive you, he says, you will not be forgiven unless you forgive others. So when you forgive others, he erases not only yours, but the offenses against you. Now, that's not saying he doesn't count them. That's not saying that God doesn't have it written down. That's not saying, but it's saying it's all in the hands of God. He is the one that is going to do the operation, not you. And if you sit there salivating to have your revenge. You see, justice is not revenge. Justice is when God comes and does what is needed. But you have no recollection, and you could care less. Because you're not after that. As a matter of fact, when you see them suffer, just like that woman that called me, that suffered, who had no pity for almost 20 years, who had no pity whatsoever. There was no memory in my heart and mind in what she did. None. And I don't think of it today except for one thing, to use it as a testimony to waken you up, to help you to understand the value of dying to self. Jesus cannot really come in his fullness into your heart and mind. And some of you have held on to the flesh for so many years. You have submersed completely in what you think, what you feel, and what you believe so much that you can't even hear him, let alone let him in. Oh, you say you do, but you don't. So when you suffer and you endure, where is your Savior? He's faithful. I wrote it in my book. He's faithful. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Once you commit yourself to him, once you ask him to come in, he comes. Unfortunately for you, you think that if you do this and you do that and you turn your back on him, you think that you're home free. It's going to be all right. You could take the word of God and manipulate it to mean what you think. You can make up your own doctrines, your own traditions, and, oh, I am worshiping God. And look at me. I'm blessed. God touches me. God does this. God does that. Why, when I have a need, I just pull him out of my pocket. And I use him like a charge card. I get home free. Never realizing that if you're not where you need to be, if you have not died to self, and you're using him in your mind, you think you're using him. In your heart, you think. You don't say, I'm going to use you, Jesus, but you do. Because he said, don't go by what you say, go by what you do. And so you treat him as though he's nothing. Why, I'm so good, look what I did. I'm able to do, well, I'm able to endure. Like the very large male nurse that come running out of the office when I was in the office waiting to see the doctor. And he's telling everybody, I have to meet her. I have to meet this woman. And then he sat down next to me. He says, I have to meet this woman who is so great in faith. And I looked at him and I said, what do you mean? I'm not great in anything. I serve a great, big, loving God. But you see, a lot of people didn't want to hear that. They want to hear it the way they want to hear it. How did you get this faith? How did you? I let him in. Understand that. I let him in. How were you able to go through this, this, and this? I let him in. Sometimes it was so hard, I never even asked him for a healing because I couldn't. My mind and my body and my heart could not function to ask for healing. I couldn't. And then he touched me anyway. God's looking for your house to be cleaned up. And it's not by praying deliverance over you. It's by you learning how to not line up and walk with the enemy. By you, people have demonic forces in their life. Once they give their life to Christ, I don't believe those demonic forces are in them. But oh, is he a deceiver. And he attaches himself to you, and you walk with him, and you talk with him, and you believe him, and you, in all these different forms and ways that you can think of, you think, that's Jesus. And the power of God is there. And he comes down upon you. When you know, deep inside here, what you're doing isn't right. What you're saying isn't right. For he said, the light comes into darkness, the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. And everyone who wants the light will come to the light. But there's those that'll draw back and they won't go to the light because they don't want to hear or know that their deeds are rotten, God. They would rather take a chance away from him than to get near him. So the flesh fights and fights. The flesh lusts after the spirit and fights with it. You see the flesh, there's nothing good in it. There is nothing that is going to live forever that is good in it. So you could literally look at your life. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you could look back into your life and see the times that God did miracle, and I'm talking about God the Father, did miracle after miracle after miracle. to keep you alive, to help you with this, to supply this need. And you walk around, well, look, I had that before I found Jesus. Of course you did. Because God the Father calls you. He touches your life to prepare your mind, to prepare everything about you for that very day that you give your life to Jesus Christ. Because he called you way before you were born. Because he says clearly to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal to you that I am the Messiah. Meaning, it could only come from God the Father. God the Father, nobody can come to Jesus Christ without God the Father drawing him. So God the Father, from the day you've been born, he knows where you're going. He's been right there. But here's what you do. Well, I'm such a good person when I was that old. You know what I did? I chose the good, and I did this. I'm going to tell you what. Every good thing you ever accomplished was God. Your choice was choosing God. Everything that you did and bad decisions was the flesh. And when it comes to God, the devil can't make you do anything. The only thing he could do is tempt you to make a choice. That's all. Tempt you to make a choice before him. Even now. Some of you have been saved 30 years. At least you say you are. Some of you have been saved 2 days. But you see, on one side is the truth, which is Jesus Christ. You see the truth that spoke all of your life. On one side, the truth says, don't go there. It gives you a little chance. Oh, no, that's not for you. That's wrong. And the other side puts a powerful influence on you and a powerful feeling and says, it'll be okay. God didn't really mean what he said. You have to lie. God says, don't lie. And you say, you have to lie. You get tempted to covet. And God, you won't tell me he doesn't do this, because I know he does. Because he does this with every man. He shines the light on every man. It's whether you want him or not, and hear him. And he will say, his word says, don't covet. But you're tempted to covet and take what another has. And God says, no, that's coveting. Don't do it. But this one says, well, you have a right. You suffered all of this stuff, and your generation suffered all of these things, and that doesn't belong to that person. It's mine. And God gently says, no. They earned it. I blessed them with it. And you can't go and take it and still have me. Oh, no, no, no. My pastor told me that we are going to receive back everything that was taken from our ancestors. And all we have to do is put a certain man in office, because he's going to reverse everything. He is going to literally steal off of every white person. Well, let me tell you something. He deserted you. He never did one thing to help you. You put all your trust in the reversal. There's coming a reversal. Well, the other one says there's a great reveal. There's a time coming where God's going to move. Because look at all we suffered. Both of you do exactly the same thing. Look at all we suffered. Get your popcorn ready. Because you're going to watch people suffer. Well, if you want to watch people suffer, I don't think you've died to yourself very much. Because all the while that you are distracted by coveting, which is what they do, and taking, and you're distracted over here by revealing, and you're going to get things, you're going to change. Both of you want to reverse things. And all the while you're doing that, you're distracted from God. You don't even know where he's at now. But oh, you've got pastors that tell you, oh, you're on the right path. This is what God is all about. This is what God wants. And they comfort you. They even baptize you after you've killed people. Because they let you know God's not going to hold that against you. Why, look at what your ancestors suffered and what you suffered. God's never going to hold that against you. And you over here, God's not going to hold that against you because look at how they stole from you and what they're doing to you. God is going to be true to his word. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Do you get some kind of understanding what it means? When you deny yourself, if you can't look and with the eyes of God on each side and see clearly, those are the ones Jesus died for. And if any one of them belong to God, you are in the worst trouble you can be in. I don't care what side you're on. If any one of them truly have Jesus, it is better for a millstone to be tied around the neck and be dropped into the deepest sea than to hurt one of these little ones that believe in me. Oh, but we follow Jesus. Do you now? That's why you covet and demand people to get on their knees, and you take money that's not yours and give it to your boyfriend. That's why that you got Jesus. Jesus will do that. And over here, that's why you can't wait so much that you incorporate witches into the church, because you don't understand it's not a fight to fight the devil. It's a full matter of giving your life to Christ and dying to self and choosing him, picking up your cross. Do you know if you did that? Wow. Wow. There would be no division. There would be absolutely no division. For you would both be after the same thing. Now, when I tell you these testimonies, I've said them before, but I'm going into detail now, and I'll tell you why. You need them. God loves you, and you need them. Oh, there are some that before all of this happened, they were in churches, and they were tremendous intercessors. Oh, did the power of God fall upon them and help them and anoint them. But now that they use it for evil instead of good, now that they use it to say God gave them the right and the power to take and destroy when God himself decided to bless that person you're stealing from. That was God's blessing resting upon them when you decided they didn't deserve it. Who are you? Who died and made you God? Who died and made you such a God that you could sit and discern and you could sit and do whatever you want? Well, I tell you, the person that has been feeding all of this discord and hatred, they don't care what color you are. He don't care. He only cares about him, his pleasure. Whew, you know. When you have someone that thinks of pleasure in nothing else, nobody counts. But, hey, you put them in office. They'll come along and, they're going to save my people. Oh, it doesn't matter. 5-year-olds are being taught explicit sexual books in school. So they're being taught, they're being groomed to be servants, to be whores, to be tramps. Whether they're boy or girl, they're being groomed by the predators. What do I care? Jesus is coming for us. I don't care about humanity. Who cares what happens to it? You're going to be one of the first people that God rejects and says, "Get away from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Because whatever any of you have done, you have not searched for God because you love him. You have not searched for God because you want him. Because you know he is the pearl of great price. The heart that would crawl and die for him is the one that he will intervene for the way he did for me. That is the one, and I know where I've been with Jesus. I know how he talks to me. He said, if you do the things according to the Bible, he will manifest himself. Oh, but I have many visions that Jesus is just, and he's this way. And you know, but we use crystals and we do this. But Jesus, oh, he came and he held on to me and he hugged me and he talked to me. Oh, my goodness. And you don't know that it is God himself that sends strong delusions so that you may believe a lie and be damned because you don't love the truth. For the truth is, you never wanted to die to self. You would never die to self. You would never die to what you think and feel. And all you want from the time you're little and you've been a spoiled, rotten little brat, for mommy and daddy did not correct you when you needed. They never sat down and talked to you about God. They never helped you through life. They never did what was right with you. So you grew up thinking you're entitled. You earned it. Even I don't think I'm entitled. I gotta look over here and see how many minutes. Yep. I can feel it's getting on to 50. It's 47.